If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Steve Dale back with you on WGN. It's 10 minutes after 2 o'clock, and he's thrown his hat, I hope he's wearing a hat, into the ring for mayor, U.S. Representative Mike Quigley, who's was going to be in studio here, and then Mike, your car was attacked by a tree, I understand.
Yeah, I guess why should I be any different? The storms we've had this year are extraordinary, obviously. Evidence of climate change, I would say. We're having more severe weather, and I lost the lottery, right? The tree came down and just had to deal with getting the car over to a repair shop and getting a rental, and we're ready to go.
Well, the good news
is on the show.
Well, thank you. And the good news is, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you, the good news is that you were not in the car, or no human beings were in the car when that happened. So that's a good thing. I do want to talk about Chicago politics, but you are here. You are expert, and I do mean expert on this topic, so I can't help but ask, is there an update regarding Ukraine and also being a member of the House? There was news about the war, and is there an update there other than we just heard Ron Brown talk about in the newscast?
Which update was he talking about?
He was talking about
waiting
Iraq.
For your call.
Yeah, he was talking about Iraq.
Right. Look, I think here's we'll begin with Ukraine. I think Putin thinks that the way he wins this war is by attrition, that he has four times the population of Ukraine. He doesn't mind treating his people like cannon fodder. The ratio of Ukrainians to Russians killed, Putin just doesn't care. But at this point in time, given the fact that we thought this war would be over in weeks, not years, Putin's spending about 42% to 50% of his economy on this war can't last forever. I've been there five times since Putin invaded, and I think that the Ukrainians show an extraordinary resilience, a resilience you see in the population that lives in this city, and I think there's hope for the first time in a while. We could do a lot to help them if President Trump met with President Zelensky. I would just remind him that Putin understands strength and not just kind words. So helping them with more air defense is probably what's more important. Passing a sanctions bill on Russia, confiscating Russian property here, that would help end this conflict sooner. But switching to Iran just for a moment, I think the president is stuck. I think other than a unilateral withdrawal, which would be if we saw the memorandum of understanding the way it was, something akin to a humiliating withdrawal, a conflict he never should have gotten us into. It's cost us $90 billion so far, a loss of 18 U.S. service members, and an inflation that's just going to continue to increase because of that. But at this point, the regime hasn't changed. It won't change. The nuclear program can continue, and the strait is closed. The strait was open when the conflict started. So at this point in time, victory would be, I guess, getting us back to where we were at the beginning. So not a pretty picture in any respect.
And I think I misspoke. I said Iraq and not Iran at the beginning, but
you're
wise enough to know exactly what I meant. Somehow you read my mind, but of course that's very light reading.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's talk about Chicago, running for the mayor for the city of Chicago. Why have you said, okay, this is now what I want to do next?
Sure. I think for the same reason that we all live here, we love this city. It's extraordinary. That's the easy part, right? And what I tell folks is Chicago has everything it needs to succeed. Primarily its location, its people, the water, It's world-class airports. It's cultural institutions, the existing business that's here, education institutions. What it doesn't have, seemingly, is the will to make really tough choices, because it's a city we love, but it's a city in crisis. It is a city in a financial crisis and a public safety crisis, and those are all interconnected. And I would stress that we are also in an affordability crisis connected to principally housing and property taxes. So it's hard to watch. I've decided to engage and move forward with an agenda that will keep our city on the right track.
I want to talk about some of those things that you pointed out, but specifically begin with housing, because I am thinking that if somehow, some way, there could be a way to figure that out, more affordable housing for more people, some other problems would be the trickle-up or down effect might be solved.
Well, I think you're on the right track there. The schools that we have that are virtually empty are surrounded by vacant lots. We can fill those schools if we fill those empty lots. Our revenue problems at the city of Chicago, since the decade you and I were born, I believe, the city is down about 1 million in population, and we're probably short 100,000 units of housing, right? That's extraordinary. So we're not going to tax our way out of it. We're going to grow our way out of it. And at the same time, we're going to make the city a lot more affordable, because there just isn't enough affordable rental housing or affordable housing that can be built. And that's starter homes, that middle group of housing, and housing for homelessness, housing for people that needs to be subsidized. But there's a path out of this. It's really a way to address this from our building code, how we look at this, our zoning code, how much it costs to build here, and the fact that, frankly, it shouldn't take a year to get a permit, which it often does here. Those are all things that government doesn't have to spend a lot of resources to move forward. Government has to facilitate and, frankly, get out of the way so we can move forward.
Do you think in Chicago government does get in the way because we have these obstacles, which these hoops that, okay, people want to be in Chicago, whether they be developers or whether they be business owners coming in, but there's just so much in the way, and you jump over one hoop and then another and another. How would you, first of all, if the answer is yes, how do you fix that?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I've crisscrossed the city and talking to developers of all types, but those developers that build subsidized affordable housing will all tell you it costs more to build a unit of subsidized affordable housing than market rate because of those barriers. Part of it is the building code. Part of it is the fact that we make people use copper pipes when, most cities don't do that, right? How we address the stairway issues, elevator issues, how we address everything from when you see wiring for your lights and so forth, that's all encased in steel pipe. And most cities require that. But we even require, this gets into the weeds here, your doorbells. Right? Your alarm system. We require that to be in there as well. So take that times 100, and that's why it's more expensive to build here. And it takes a long time. And builders and developers also say that it's hard to get investment dollars here in Chicago. They can get the loan, the primary loan, to do a big project, a big commercial and residential project, but there's no investment dollars to get that secondary, to get this thing actually built, because of the uncertainty of Chicago, because it takes so long to get permits, because people don't know what the costs are going to be, principally with property taxes. So even in neighborhoods like Fulton Market, the investment dollars are drying up. We're just not building nearly enough. But look, we can leverage these assets. We can leverage the fact that we have so many vacant lots. We can give people incentives by using the land that we already have to go forward with these projects. It shouldn't take a year to get a permit, and it shouldn't cost more to build a subsidized unit than a market rate unit.
All right, so much more to ask Mike Quigley about. I do want to talk about, you've mentioned these two words a couple of times, property taxes. I want to talk about that, talk about public safety and parking meters and much more, and we will when we come back on WGN. Steve Dale back with you on WGN with U.S. Representative Mike Quigley, who wants to be the next mayor for the city of Chicago. You said these two words twice, Representative Quigley, and every time you did, text, and that is property tax. Are you going to assure us that those taxes will not increase?
Well, the mayor can only make the promise for the city's part of that levy. The mayor can't dictate, unfortunately, to the school system or the county or any of the other multiple taxing districts. But you can make a pledge that you won't raise them from the city's point of view. Look, you might recall when I was at the county as a Cook County commissioner, I led the revolt against my own party, my own system, where we beat back what were unnecessary tax increases. I did that by offering alternatives and detailed plans of how to streamline and consolidate and make local government more efficient. Right now, that's still possible here. The public's probably pretty much aware of the Ernst & Young reports, which were a first step to look at the city of Chicago from that perspective. We can go much farther to make the city operate more efficiently and quit putting additional burdens on the property tax systems. And of course, the biggest thrust of that is going to also have to be addressing the pension crisis. City of Chicago has more pension debt than 44 states. So regardless of the group I may be talking to, when I tell them that over 40% of that revenue is going toward existing debt and pensions, whatever it is that they want to talk about, whether it's schools, whether it's public health, whether it's public safety, I can't do much if less and less money out of our revenues is being available to do that. The bottom line is we've got to shrink that number. We've got to put it in the right trajectory. Some of that's through efficiencies. Some of it is what I said at the beginning. We're not going to tax our way out of it. We couldn't if we wanted to. We're going to have to grow our way out of it. And in the meantime, you know, wrench every value of every tax dollar that comes in and use it the best way we possibly can.
This really ties in with the next question and something you talked about earlier, which might have motivated this question from this listener. Ask Mr. Quigley if he plans to affirm personal liberty for citizens, the ability for people to live their lives as they see fit. And he's angry, I can tell.
Well, I can tell. Look, I support personal liberties. I was an acting defense attorney for a long time, so I guess you could take the question, as you know, very broadly in any number of ways, but I'm a firm believer in defending our Constitution any way possible. So I appreciate the spirit in which the question's asked. All I can say is I'm an advocate for free speech and civil liberties to the extent we possibly can.
You know, it used to be where parking meters, if you lived on a residential street or there was no other available parking for residences, they didn't have meters at those locations. Now, oftentimes in Chicago, they do, not to mention the increasing cost of paying for parking. As much as gas has gone up, I argue paying for parking is going to cost you even more in some cases. I went to the bank for a loan to pay for parking. So it's costly to do so. Does the city need to take back control of the parking meters? And is that even possible? I know Mayor Johnson has tried to do that.
Look, we put in place one of the worst deals ever from a financial point of view with the city of Chicago when they did the original parking meter deal. They sold an asset, and then they took the money they got from it and spent it almost immediately, overnight. And so now there's decades of obligation. In other words, none of that revenue is going to come into the city. And my sense is the reason the firm wants to sell now or refinance or have someone buy into it is they probably feel like they've gotten their money's worth of it. They see trends where actually cars are going to be used less. Maybe there'll be a less demand for parking. And so the city's in a bad situation trying to capture whatever they can. I think in the end, there is something that could be a net gain, but you've still lost all this. This is degrees of losing. So I think something can be done, restructured, but I think it's misleading to tell anyone that we can take this back and get all those revenues, because it's just the cost of doing that, the cost of borrowing to do that. You're really shaving there at some point in time, and it's worth the while, but it's not going to be a panacea.
But why are we adding more meters to places that we don't need to, therefore eliminating parking spaces for residents, essentially? And that that's unfortunate. Now, we only have about
It's what happens. It's what happens when you're desperate for revenue because you're spending too much money and you're too inefficient.
Do you think that's happening right now?
That's exactly what's happening. You know, the state and all the local governments are trying to find any new revenue they can. And they think, well, this isn't a revenue that will affect. It's a new revenue. In the end, it makes the cost of living higher. And if the number one issue in our country, across the country, is affordability, we've got to add, as part of that affordability crisis, the cost of local government.
I never have enough time with you. We only have a minute left to talk about public safety. The numbers look good, but I know that many of the candidates feel that citizens feel differently, and our text line would confirm that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, first of all, there's a reality in what they say. The Biden administration's big mistake is telling people how they felt. So we're telling people, or people are trying to tell the public, that the public safety issue isn't there anymore. The fact is, as compared to other major cities, our crime statistics are much, much higher. We obviously have a long way to go. It is not time to take a bow.
Well, the good news is tourism is up, and the good news is the city looks good, and it's looking even better as the sun comes out, which I know you are responsible for as well. Representative Mike Quigley, it is always my pleasure to speak with you, and we'll get you in studio some point in time, as we will continue to speak to all the candidates running for mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It is indeed always a pleasure to speak with him, and it will be a pleasure to speak with a Chicago legend. And Wayne Mesmer is here. We will talk. Yeah, that guy, Wayne Mesmer. Mesmer, you know, with the national anthem. That's the guy. He's here, and we'll talk to him after the news on WGN from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.